Hello, this is Pastor Travis from Unity Church Magnolia. We want to thank you for joining us today for this week's podcast. We pray that it will encourage you and strengthen you for your journey with Christ. We hope to see you soon. God bless you as you listen.
Somebody shout, grave to glory. So last week we talked about how Jesus was not just honored in his life, but he was honored in his death. And before I really get into this message this morning, I want to declare today is Palm Sunday, that we celebrate Palm Sunday, where Jesus came in triumphantly into Jerusalem, right? And there were multitudes of people shouting Hosanna, who are praising God. In other translations, it says, let his name be lifted higher than any other name. And so, for he is the king that the Lord has sent to bring peace to Israel. And so this is the events that took place on the day that we celebrate today, just prior to the crucifixion, right? And to the resurrection. And I thought about this earlier this morning as I was reading through the few chapters leading up to and the triumphal entry of Christ and all of these things into Jerusalem. And it dawned on me that it's easy to honor God whenever he's healing the sick, whenever he's causing the eyes of the blind to be opened, whenever he's raising the dead, whenever he's bringing life to our circumstance and our situations. It's easy to get excited and to praise God and to celebrate God when everything is going right and his ministry is growing and multitudes are coming and thousands are going to hear him on a mountaintop and all of these things. Oh, it's easy to get on the train when things are going your way. Can somebody say amen? But when everything starts to go south and people began to accuse and mock and ridicule and Jesus gets arrested, the very first thing that we note that happens is everybody scatters. So here we have this story of the triumphal entry where Jesus is being honored in his life, but when it came time for him to be hung on the cross of Calvary, everyone scattered. But can I tell you that how you honor God in the hard times is going to be determine how you're going to spend the good times. How you honor God when everyone else turns away, when things start to go south, when nothing goes your way, how you honor God in those moments is going to determine how you are spending those times where God is trying to bless you. So can I reword it like this? The blessing of God is going to hinge on how you honor him in death. In the valley of the shadow of death, do we still honor him there? And so what we see here in our story from last week is that Jesus was honored in death by a rich man who said, I want the body of Jesus, and I want to take the body of Jesus, and I want to put him in a tomb that's never been had anyone in it, and I want to place him in a place of authority, in a place of honor, and we want to wrap his body in the finest linens and the finest perfumes, and we want to honor Jesus in death just like we did whenever he was riding in triumphantly on the back of a donkey. Can somebody say amen? But here's what happens to us most of the time is our perception of God changes depending on our circumstance. Our perception of who God is, well, we thought he was the king that God had blessed us with, that he was bringing peace, but here he is hanging on a cross like a murderer, like a thief. And our perception of God changes depending on our circumstance. But can I tell you this morning, and can I reaffirm to you today, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change based on your circumstance. His goodness and mercy endures forever. Can somebody say amen? So our scripture here for this morning is found in Matthew 28, verse 5 through 6. When the women went to see him at the grave, it says, the women were breathless and terrified until the angel said to them, there's no reason to be afraid. I know you're here looking for Jesus, who is crucified, but he isn't here. He has risen victoriously. Somebody say victoriously. Just as he said, come inside the tomb, see the place where our Lord was laying. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that comes from hearing the word. And God, we are thankful that the truth sets us free. God, I pray that you speak to our hearts and change our lives today. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. Somebody give the worship team a hand this morning. Amen. So we talked about last week, honored in death. And this week, we are going to speak a message entitled, Not Just Sleeping. Not just sleeping. So what we're doing is we're going through the events from the time that Jesus breathed his last on the cross to the time that he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And today we are talking about not just sleeping. So what happened when Jesus breathed his last? What happened in that moment that Jesus took his last breath on earth? Whenever I preach funerals, I usually include the phrase that the moment that they breathed their last breath here on this life, they took their first breath in eternity, right? And so we are excited that Jesus's life did not end on the cross. And because his life did not end on the cross, can I tell you that neither does your life end when you breathe your last here on this. The Bible says that he came to give us life and life more abundantly. So Luke 23:42 tells us this. It says, then he said, listen, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Who said this? This is the thief, right? This is the thief that hung next to Jesus on a cross. And we see a salvation experience happen right here on the cross where the man looks at Jesus and he says, will you remember? Listen, this is a cry out from this man. He says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, I want you to look at these words coming up. It says, Jesus answered him, truly I tell you today, somebody say today, you will be with me in paradise. Today. So we know that Jesus breathed his last, and before he did anything else, he rose up into paradise to be with the Father. He went to heaven, and we know some things are going to take place next, but before he did anything else, he went to heaven because he welcomed this thief into heaven with him. Can I tell you that I don't care where you've been or what you've done, that there is always a Savior that is waiting for you to say, just remember me, God. God, I know that I have a shady past. I know I've done some things in my past, but right here in this moment, I'm asking you to forgive me. Be my Lord, be my Savior. There is not a person in this room that has done too much for God to say today. Somebody say today. Come on. He's ready to forgive you today. So 3 days in the tomb is what we're recognizing this morning. The very first thing that happened is Jesus went to heaven. It says in Psalm 16 verse 10, it says, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. Right? You will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. I can tell you not a second went by from the time that Jesus breathed his last to the time that God the Father redeemed his Son along with the sins of this world. And not a moment went by when Jesus, his body in spirit, not his physical body, but his body in spirit was to see decay. So the first thing he did is he went to heaven. Secondly, Jesus descended into hell. Now there's some thoughts on this doctrine, but the Bible is clear. In Matthew 12:40, it says, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So we know that the first thing that happened is Jesus ascended into heaven, and then immediately he descended into the depths of the earth. And what took place there is the reason that we're able to be here this morning. What took place in those 3 days when Jesus was in the heart of the earth is the reason we can celebrate today. It says, what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to a lower earthly region? Yeah, next week we're going to celebrate the risen Savior. We're going to celebrate the fact that he rose from the dead. But can I tell you that he didn't just rise from the dead? He rose from the depths of the earth, where he went to accomplish something for you and me. And we're going to talk about that this morning. Number three, Jesus fought spiritual battles. And can I tell you, he won. Oh, come on, church. Are y'all not excited about that? He fought spiritual battles and he won. So Jesus went to heaven. He descended into the earth. He fought spiritual battles. And any battle that my God fights, I can promise you this, he's going to win. God does not play a game that he does not intend to win. Can somebody say amen? Now watch this. He said in Revelations 1:18, oh man, this scripture gets me fired up. It says, I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades in my hand. Come on, I can tell you this, that I don't care what circumstance or what situation you are facing today. He holds the keys of freedom for you because he paid for them on the cross of Calvary. He didn't just pay so you don't have to go to hell. He paid so that you can live a victorious life. Not because we deserve it. Not because we're all powerful. But because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he came to set the captives free. Holds the keys to death and Hades. 1 Corinthians 15:55 through 57 says this. Oh, where, O death? Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that it is sin that leads to spiritual death, and it is sin that binds us as captives, but it is sin that has been broken by the power of the cross of Calvary and what Jesus did in the depths of the earth. For 3 days, he went and got the keys so that you don't have to live as bound people anymore. Yes, we have desires. We have temptations. In fact, the Bible says we're led away and drawn astray because of our own sinful desires. Yeah, man. How many know sometimes it's hard to do right? Oh, you bunch of religious people this morning. Oh, I ain't telling the truth. I had about three holy people that told the truth this morning. Praise God. Bless you. You're the people that keep me in ministry. Thank you. Can I ask? Sometimes it's hard to do right. Right? Somebody cuts you off in traffic when you are already in a hurry. Right? It used to make me so angry. It used to, transparent moment, okay? Pastor, transparent. This is not the one you put on Facebook, Miss Kelly. All right, because somebody's gonna be like, that was me. So I lived out at Forest Place for a couple years, and it was really crazy because I grew up out in the country, and it took me about 30 minutes to get to school because I was about 30 minutes away from the school. What I thought was ridiculous is that we were living in Forest Place, and it was taking me about 30 minutes to get Isaac to school. And I thought, what is going on? I live right here in town, and it's taking me 30 minutes to get my kid to school. This is crazy. But what was happening is I would get to about Chicken Express, right? On Warnick Springs Road, I'd get to a Chicken Express, and I would sit there through about 5 red lights. Why? Because people thought it was more important to let the people out of the gas station onto the road when I'm trying to get my kids to school. And so I'm sitting there watching the light turn green, can't do nothing, because some God-blessed person had to get gas, right? And it would make me so frustrated. And so whether or not we made it to school on time depended on how many people were getting gas that morning, right? It didn't matter if I left 30 minutes or 20 minutes or 15 minutes. We're going to sit through some red lights, I promise you. And so where was I going? Oh, it was hard to do good. I was like, where was I going with that? It's hard to do good. It's hard to say, oh, God bless them. I know they needed gas this morning. Or God bless these people in front of me for letting these people out. You know, they're so kind. And I'm like, man, this is the 7th person you let out now. Come on, for real. All right? How many know sometimes it's hard to do good? All right. You know, it's bad. You know, I'm the pastor of this here Unity Church. And there were times where nobody was there letting people out. And I would approach the driveway and there's some poor person wanting to get out on the road. And I just look at them, smiling. No, I'm just kidding. I was not rude. I just acted like I didn't see them. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to do good sometimes. In all seriousness. In all seriousness. There's going to be moments in your life where it seems almost unbearable. And the weight of sin and the desire in your life, especially if you've been feeding it, becomes almost unbearable. But can I tell you that sin has no victory? And the death that it leads to has no sting. There is no victory, there is no sting, because the chains that once bound us have been broken by the power of Jesus Christ. If you are walking around chained to your circumstance, or chained to your sin problem, or chained to your past, can I tell you that it's because you are holding the chain in your hand and you're dragging it along with you? Because He already set you free. That's why the Bible says don't return again to a yoke of slavery. Don't try to drag that thing around with you. All you got to do, listen, I'm telling you, I'm convinced of this. As a believer of the Most High God, He did not come to make you weak and powerless. He came to make you strong and with authority. Sometimes all we've got to do is drop the chain. We're saying, God, break the chains. He's saying, drop it. Just drop it. I've already given you victory over the enemy. I spent 3 days in the middle of the earth, in the depths of the earth, fighting this battle for you. What more do you want me to do? Drop it. I want you to push on somebody and say, just drop it. We say this, and I think it's appropriate for the day. Sometimes you got to drop it like a bad habit. Drop it like a bad habit. Because can I tell you this? Most struggles with sin is simply that. You have become, let it become a habit in your life. And all you need to do is drop it. Find you an accountability partner. Accountability will set you free, man. You've already been set free. Accountability will help you along the way to stay free. Find somebody that you're going to be accountable to. Somebody that will ask you some hard questions and drop it. I'm going to take up my own offering this morning. I don't know. Number 4. After He fought the battle and He won, Jesus ascended back to heaven. This is before he rose from the grave, right? So He went to heaven, He descended to the earth, fought spiritual battles and won, and then He ascended back to heaven to deliver gifts to mankind. So the things that he won and acquired in the belly of the earth, he went to heaven to distribute them to mankind. Ephesians 4, 10 through 12 says this, "He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself," listen, "so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." Jesus descended in the lower parts of the earth and he fought spiritual battles and won. And he came back with a loot, a plunder from the enemy's camp. And he ascended high into the heavens and he distributed the gifts to mankind. And he distributed this to the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists, so that they could equip the church so that the church could be built up. I think that there is a problem whenever we see a stagnant church that is not growing, that is not thriving, that is not being built up, because the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the teachers were not doing our jobs equipping you. I think too many times churches have been built on the pastors when churches are to be built on the labor of the saints. I can change the world as a Christian, but I'm not going to change the world from the office of pastor. But you can change the world as Christian. And Brenna can change the world as a Christian. And Robert can change the world as a Christian. And Quay can go to West Helena, where it seems like all hell's broke loose. And he can change the world, not as a pastor, but as a man of God. Jesus descended in the lower parts of the earth to win spiritual battles so that he could rise up and to distribute those gifts to the church, because we don't serve a God who keeps everything to himself. He says, "Hey, I want you to be a part of this. I want you to be a part of this. I won the victory, but we're all going to do the victory dance. We're all going to do the victory dance." No, I'm not going to dance. But I'm dancing in my heart this morning, because truly, we're on the winning team. Somebody say, "I am on the winning team." He wasn't just sleeping. So here's some lessons from the grave that we can take away with us this morning. Number one, always seek the Father before fighting spiritual battles. Jesus went to be with the Father before he descended into the lower regions of the earth. Always seek the Father before fighting spiritual battles. I think some of the time when we lose the battles that we're fighting, it's because we're trying to fight them alone. Right? We're trying to fight them alone. But I believe that God is raising up a people who say, "Become seekers of me, my kingdom, and my righteousness. Become seekers of me, and then I will equip you to win every battle that comes your way." We've got to seek the Father first. Listen, some of the reason that the church has been bowing down to the culture and the church has been losing spiritual battles is because we have forgotten how to seek him. We've forgotten how to lock ourselves in a prayer closet and not come out until we have met with God. We have forgotten how to come to an altar and begin to tarry there until we have encountered the power and the presence of the Most High God. Because it is in a moment of God's presence that victories are won. A moment in the presence of God. But anytime we're trying to go it alone because we're too busy, we got too many things going on, we got this and that clouding our minds and our thoughts, and yet we're still trying to fight spiritual battles. Because I can tell you this, that the enemy does not let up just because you quit seeking him. Just because you quit seeking God doesn't mean that the enemy's going to let up, because he is the kind that will kick your butt while you're down. He'll kick you while you're down. And so the way we counter this is we say, I am about to spend some time with Almighty God, because we have access, because the veil was torn, we have access into the presence of God, where we can go in and tap into His goodness and into His virtues of a victor. Oh, I'm a victor in the name of Jesus if you're spending time with God. Oh, I'm more than a conqueror. The Bible says so. Well, yeah, if you're a seeker of God. Try to win battles outside of the kingdom. We're trying to win kingdom battles outside of the kingdom. I don't know about you, but I want to stay in the kingdom. I want to stay in kingdom power and authority, but that comes from a life of devotion to God. We want God to win our battles for us. He already has. He already has. He just gave you the keys. But the keys are found in His presence. The keys are found in His presence. Does this make sense? Always seek the Father before you go trying to fight spiritual battles. I've counseled with people. I've tried to help people. Pastor, there's just demonic presence in my home. And I've rebuked it. I've taken authority and I've said, in the name that's above all names. In the name of Jesus, get thee behind me, Satan. You still got those porn movies in your cabinet? Well, I ain't talking about that now. Whoa, that's none of your business, Pastor. I can't sleep at night, Pastor. Now I've rebuked the enemy. I put him in his place, and I've quoted scripture right after I finished my Stephen King novel. Oh, yeah. Watching movies about vampires and dead again or alive again or whatever they are, those zombie movies. Man, yeah, okay, so here's what we do. Here's what we're doing as Christians. Can I do this for a minute? We sit and we invite the enemy to come be entertained with us on our sofa. And then we get mad when he hangs around too long. You want some popcorn? Can I tell you this? You keep feeding the enemy, he's going to stay, just like church people. That hit the spot, didn't it? Let me just move on ahead. Never fight spiritual battles before you've sought the presence of Almighty God. The reason things happen supernaturally, I believe this for my family. The reason people walk into my house and feel the peace and the presence of God is because we don't entertain the enemy. I'm not bragging. I'm not trying to set ourselves up on a pedestal this morning. I'm just saying we drew a line. We drew a line. And I can promise you, if somebody comes in and entertains the enemy, people aren't sleeping that night. Listen, my kids will and have gotten up and said, something is just not right here. Because they can sense that something's different. Somebody has opened the door and invited the enemy in. We want God to give us victory. We need to live like victors. Stay in the kingdom. Stay in the presence of God. Seek His presence. Seek the Father before you fight spiritual battles. Number two, the cross was the setup for Satan's biggest setback. You know, the enemy may have just been dumb enough to think that he had done it. That he had won. That maybe just like he was in the beginning when he got cast out of the presence of God, he probably had some kind of notion, maybe God's wrong. Maybe I've got God fooled this time. But can I tell you, the cross was his biggest setup for the setback of all time. The enemy has manipulated you way too long to think that you're never going to overcome this, that you're never going to get over this, that it's always going to be like this. Nobody likes you. Nobody cares for you. There's no hope for you. But can I tell you that somebody needs to rise up and tell the enemy that he has been defeated? He has experienced a setback that he will never recover from. The battle's already won. The enemy has been defeated. Well, I need the enemy just to be defeated in my life, brother. He has been. If you would quit getting the shovel and digging him back up. The flesh, I just can't overcome the flesh, brother. Well, quit digging it up and giving it CPR. Right? Number three, silence could mean victory is on the way. Here the church is for 3 days and three nights with a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords in a tomb with the door closed. Right? Silence. Where is the one who is opening the eyes of the blind, who is healing the sick, who the multitudes were following, who is teaching us day in and day out, who would have to sneak away just for a moment of rest? Where is he now? He's silent. And some of you may be saying this morning that it feels like I don't hear from God. I don't feel him like I used to. I don't sense him in my life like I used to. Can I tell you that silence may be the key to victory? Silence may be your key to victory. Silence could mean that he is fighting. Listen, that he is doing something in your life. That he is setting you up. That he is building you up. That he is equipping you to do the things that he's called you to do. Silence could mean that God is seeing how much you really believe. Do you really believe? These ladies went to the tomb to minister to the body of Jesus. Not because they were overcome with unbelief, but because they believed him enough that they wanted to honor him even in the tomb. So does your faith level waver whenever God gets silent? Well, maybe this maybe really isn't real. Maybe he didn't really call me to Magnolia. Maybe he didn't really call me to Unity Church. I'm not being fed like I used to be. Well, that's because you're snacking on Sunday and you ain't eating nothing on Monday. I just get everybody today. All right? Silence could mean your key. You see, sometimes when God's silence, it's not because he's not doing anything. You remember Daniel's story where he prayed for God to come and save him and his people, and it was a desperate time. Things didn't quite happen the way he thought it would. And the angel of the Lord came and said, sorry, man, I was fighting battles in the heavenlies. Just because Jesus fought and defeated the enemy in the grave doesn't mean that demon principalities are not going to try to fight you in the heavenly realms. And whenever you pray to God, there is a spiritual war for that prayer. Listen, don't think any differently. There's spiritual warfare going on for your soul today. Like I said, just because you're not seeking doesn't mean the enemy's not fighting. Just because the enemy has lost his final battle doesn't mean that he's not going to fight you today. And he's going to fight you. And just because God's silent doesn't mean that he doesn't care. Nobody cares about me, Pastor. Well, maybe they do. Well, God doesn't care about you. Yeah, I bet you he does. He loves you so much that he sent his one and only begotten. In fact, the Bible calls it this in the Passion Translation, his one and only unique son. Who is equipped to save the world on your behalf. On your behalf. He cares about you. Just because he's silent doesn't mean that it's over. Somebody say, just because it's silent doesn't mean it's over. Would somebody stand with me this morning? First, always seek the Father before you try to fight spiritual battles. He loves you. Do you know that? The Father loves you. He wants you to win. He wants you to win. He wants you to be successful. He wants you. The Bible says that he wants you to prosper in body, soul, and spirit. God wants you to be prosperous in all that you do. You know why? Because you're carrying his name. It's for his name's sake. It's for his name's sake. It's not so that Robert can look good or Pastor Travis can look good. This is for his name's sake. He wants you to represent the kingdom well. But before we go fighting spiritual battles, man, spend some time with your daddy. You know what he might do? He may give you strategy. He may give you strategy. He may give you some things to do, like clean out the closet. Pour that stuff down the drain. Well, God, I don't understand why I'm still bound to alcohol. And it may be a simple thing like this. Why don't you pour what you have down the drain? That way you're not tempted by it, right? It starts somewhere. Well, God, I don't understand why I'm bound to lust and my desires are for things where my mind shouldn't be. And you may say, why don't you guard what you see? Close it off. Quit giving the enemy a bowl of popcorn. Listen, I'm not here to beat up on you. I want to see you victorious. I want to see you rise above your circumstance, your situation. Listen, the things that have been keeping you bound in the tomb, I'm telling you that the door is going to fling open, but it's your responsibility to walk out with power and authority and victory. I think it's significant. I think it's significant that it didn't say Jesus rose and ascended into heaven with keys in his hand. Listen, it didn't say that he arose so that he could open everybody's tombs. It said he rose so that he could give his keys to the door. To give us keys to the door. To give us keys to the chains that bind us. To give us keys to the things that have held us back for too long. Give us keys to the things that have weighed us down. Listen, God wants you to live in victory. I want you to live in victory. I want you to be so prosperous you don't even know what to do. I want you to have so much in abundance that you don't know what to do with it. But listen, I can tell you this, that it doesn't come free. It came at a cost on Calvary. But he gave you the keys to walk in victory. Can somebody say amen?
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this week's podcast. If you were blessed by the message today, please join us by visiting us at ucmagnolia.com. You can see what's going on, you can give online, and you can be a part of what God's doing at Unity Church Magnolia. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.